Part 2, Day 2. Watch out for the trees. The heavy knocking on the front door pulled me away from sleep early the following morning, though I wouldn't say it completely upset me for the prematurely yanking away from my dreams, featuring hordes of those pale-skinned human-faced dawn creatures. I still wasn't remotely ready to fully wake up. Amy stirred beside me, mumbling under her breath that she would go get the door. But I was already freeing myself from the cozy bed from giving her the chance. Grabbing my robe from the splayed open suitcase, slipping it on before lazily shuffling my feet through the hallway. The pounding on the front door had only let up for momentary intervals, causing the hammering sound to combine with my mentally checked out state, to cause anger to flush beneath the skin of my face. This better be important. Oh, morning, officer. Ranger Les. You ever heard of a little thing called forest fires? He belted, cutting off my words, while holding the butt of my late-night cigarette outstretched between his bony fingers. Oh, shit. I'm sorry. I couldn't sleep and... I know y'all city folk ain't got no respect for nothing, but you ain't about to... Whoa, no. I admit I should have taken better care last night, but there's no need for all that. He was just staring knives at me, and for the briefest moment, his eyes almost looked as dark as those on my twilight hallucination. I shook my head to sort of force my mind back to the land of the living, finally seeing no more than that small-statured older man in the brown Stetson and tan shirt, staring back at me through perfectly normal yet angered and worn-out eyes. "That's one," he said, holding the cigarette butt in one hand, and his pointer finger outstretched on the other. "One?" He just stared at me, still holding the snuffed-out smoke in my face. "This is some bullshit," I muttered under my breath, clenching my jaw. "What do you say?" he sneered, squinting his beady little eyes. "What? I didn't say anything." Not only had I been rudely awakened, but my foot was throbbing, and this old man was seriously pushing my buttons. Part of me wanted to cuss the old man out, whip the crumpled cigarette from his hand, and tell him to go to hell. But I knew I had to smooth things over with him. Yes, he was a pestering little troll who took his job way too seriously, but I suppose I couldn't fault him for that. We just continued to stare at one another for what felt like minutes. Something about the way his eyes gazed into mine was almost intimidating. Perhaps the way his brow made contact with the wrinkles above his nose, almost causing him to appear barely human. I felt my pulse quicken as it had the previous night, but I decided to at least attempt to make things right with him. "Look, I'm truly sorry, sir," I said, attempting to steer the conversation back to somewhat of a civil place. "I promise it won't happen again. I was tired last night and just wasn't thinking." He sort of pinched his lips together before handing the cigarette butt to me. His previously frustrated expression softened back up, and a smile reached across his lips, though it was hardly a sincere one. "I didn't mean to get so angry, son. I apologize for that. Spent most of my adult life watching over him. Suppose I take it a bit too personally when folks don't show enough respect to this beautiful slice of the world." "No, you're absolutely justified, Ranger Lesnick. It was my mistake, and you were right to call me out on it." Sure, I was shamelessly kissing his ass, but it felt like the best way to go at the time. Yes, he was about as intimidating as a freshly stuffed teddy bear, now that I once more looked upon a small, scrawny old man with a portly round beer gut bulging through his tight shirt. But I had a feeling he could make our stay, well, difficult if he wanted to. Even if the first night we spent in this gorgeous scenery could have gone a lot better, I wasn't ready to head back home just yet. That, and we could only afford one trip a year, and I wasn't about to just piss that money away over a spat with the local law. "Thanks for understanding, son. Means a lot to me, you owning up and all. Just be sure y'all don't let it happen again, okay?" "Of course. Thank you, too." "Ma'am?" he said to Amy as she strolled up beside me, tipping his hat again, before once more returning to his jeep. "What the hell is that about?" she asked, rubbing her hands across my back. I snuffed my butt out in the driveway last night. He was less than thrilled. So what? Like he drove by, saw the smushed cigarette on the ground, and pounded on the door? What exactly inspired him on going on a hunt for something like that? Don't know, don't care. Just glad that's over. It was awkward as hell. We both still just stood there in the open doorway, staring out as though the old man was still standing there, waving a condescending finger. After a minute or two, I had remembered I had left shattered glass across the kitchen floor and needed to get that cleaned up before really starting the day. That was, of course, after enjoying the sacred tradition of that first cigarette of the day, one that would be disposed of in a much more responsible manner, lest I endure the wrath of Officer Bust My Balls. With the far more premature beginning of the day than we had planned for, we weren't entirely sure what to do with ourselves. We had talked about heading out to a little town, grabbing some breakfast, and maybe taking in a few attractions or something, but neither one of us were feeling especially boiled over with energy. Amy had a far more fulfilling rest than I, but it too was cut short by our visitor pounding on the door. After a little while and some back and forth discussion, we hopped in the car to make our way to the small town some miles away. Nothing about our pleasant morning and early afternoon was particularly noteworthy, not for a story claiming to be one of some degree of horror anyways. Yes, the diner we stopped by provided me with possibly the best bacon cheeseburger that had ever graced my stomach. And yes, I am fully aware that it's not your average breakfast, but I thought I'd share what I consider to be about the most fulfilling part of our trip. I can't deny the cabin was nice, nor the scenery was absolutely gorgeous, but after our pleasant afternoon in the town of Grady, when we returned to our temporary living quarters, that's about when things took another turn for the bizarre. It wasn't immediate, mind you, not quite as soon as we returned, but when we decided to go for a hike, having been re-energized by both our outing and the delicious meal. Our cozy little cabin was located right across the road from the opening to what looked to be a pretty nice trail, being far more accustomed to walking busy streets of a big city. We didn't have much experience in such things, but the idea of not having to weave in between the absent-minded pedestrians, mentally checked out while they only focused on where they had to be, made me actually look forward to only having to dodge the occasional tree from time to time. The fact that the bumpy path was rather wide caused that even not to be a factor. We hadn't exactly given ourselves a time limit, nor any specific direction or destination as we passed between the first row of trees. But neither Amy nor I were the type to make itineraries for what should be a relaxing vacation. We strolled up and down small hills over the occasional slim streams, and even left the path for a while to really immerse ourselves in good old Mother Nature. We still kept close to the trail, of course. We weren't trying to get ourselves lost or anything, only to truly take in the wonderful sights. We stopped at a small brook, only a few yards from the trail, where we decided to have ourselves a picnic. Another thing I can't say I've ever done before. I had most of our supplies in my pack. We didn't exactly bring a whole meal along. Mostly just some snacks, a couple of beers, and an old beach towel we used to set everything up on. Naturally, as soon as I cleaned off one of the slightly squashed special recipe brownies we brought from home, a stranger-than-expected breeze took hold of the Ziploc bag and sending it directly into the stream. Truth be told, we were already feeling the effects of the enhanced brownies, so my dumbass attempted to chase down the damn bag, inadvertently kicking more of our snacks into the water. I swore out loud as potato chips poured into the stream, even though Amy and I were both cracking up. I just stomped across the bank of the slim stretch of running water, almost tripping over a series of tree roots broken through the ground, coiled around the dirt and grass. "You're gonna fall and break your neck, you damn idiot!" my wife called out, still laughing, with tears streaming from her eyes. "Nope," I called back, also chuckling pretty hard. "Don't need Lesnick calling in the feds on us for littering." My eyes were exclusively staring at the wrinkled plastic bag as it gently danced across the surface of the water, while neglecting everything else I punted into the stream with my clumsy feet. Being so focused on that one thing, I didn't even notice what I was running towards. When I inadvertently wrapped my body around a thick tree trunk, I was both stunned and completely caught off guard. Though I hadn't exactly been plotting the course ahead, I could have sworn the bank of the stream was clear, but Amy's laughter from behind me convinced me it was nothing more than my own idiocy and absent-minded that led my face into the bark. I began to turn around to join my life in her nearly hysterical laughter at my collision with the tree, when I was distracted by her chuckles morphing into something far more horrified. I could barely tell where the laughter ended and the ear-piercing shrieking began, as they blended together within seconds at most. Of course, my own scream when the tree began to move almost rivaled hers, as my chest began to pound again, accompanied by the sharp pain across the length of my right arm. The thick trunk of the ancient tree lifted right before my eyes, toppling me to the rough ground. I cut my gaze upwards to meet a sight that almost caused me to lose control of my bowels. One tree joined with another, some 30 or 40 feet above, a connection I could only describe as essentially the crotch or taint of an enormous wooden behemoth of a creature. Long, equally tree-like arms dangled by its waistline, but everywhere that was above that was far too high for me to make out, given the angle I was looking at. As I skidded across the grass and dirt on my ass, attempting to clear myself from the path of whatever this thing was, I felt the ground shudder as the roots pulled free, snapping and raining muddy soil across me. What happened next felt as though it played out in slow motion, but perhaps that was only due to the giant wooden beast throwing off my perception of things. When Amy shrieked out in even more horror, I spun around to see the now raised, root-lined foot beginning to descend to where she stood, apparently frozen in place. I scrambled to get to my feet, while yelling for her to jump to the side, but she was paralyzed by the shock of what we were witnessing. She couldn't even register anything else at the time. I shuffled my feet across the dried leaves and grass, scrambling to stabilize myself enough to get to her, but there was absolutely no chance of me reaching her in time. I was sprinting in her direction, begging her to move, when the enlarged stump of a foot landed with a crash before my eyes. Within those handful of seconds, I heard the snapping of Amy's bones, along with the twisting and tearing of her flesh and tissue. Blood burst from beneath the tree trunk as it connected with the ground once more, as though it had stepped onto an enormous ketchup packet. It gushed right at me, covering me from head to toe with my beloved wife's bodily fluids. When the ground quaked once more from the beast's second leg slamming down hard some yards to my left, I watched in horror as the one that plummeted my wife lifted up once more, peeling away what was left of her, sandwiched between the foot and the ground below. It was almost as much from the sounds of the meat tearing away in both directions as the sight of the unrecognizable gore that was once the woman I loved that caused me to lose consciousness. For a moment, I thought I might be experiencing a heart attack as my chest was now mimicking the pain I still felt in my right arm. Over the course of that short period of time, as my head gave in to the dizziness, sending me back to the ground, I begged for the darkness to take me. I prayed for this nightmare to end. I allowed myself to be consumed by the black before my fragmenting heart could rupture. What had brought me back from the unconscious state almost convinced me I had indeed drifted from the confines of this world and into the realm my beloved wife now dwelled within.
"Babe, are you okay?"
Amy said, lightly slapping her hand across my face.
"Huh?"
My eyes blinked back to awareness, looking up at the beautiful, kind face of my wife. I started to push myself up from the ground to wrap my arms around the woman whose death I had only just witnessed, when an almost blinding pain caused my arm to give out, planting me back to the ground once more.
"Take it easy, babe. You took quite a hit."
She was pouring some water across a ball of paper towels before dabbing it on my forehead, causing me to buckle again from a sharp pain. "What happened?" I asked, attempting to force the visual imagery of Amy being squashed like a bug into the back of my mind. "You ran into a tree, you dummy," she chuckled ever so slightly while she spoke, nodding her head to the thick trunk I laid next to, still patting the moistened towel to my forehead. I was still feeling very foggy after I finally succeeded into climbing back up onto my feet, and the pulsing in my head continued to make me feel quite loopy. Even with being somewhat mentally vacant while we gathered up our belongings to make our way back to the cabin, I was of sound mind enough to make sure that we grabbed every single piece of trash we may have inadvertently scattered across the forest floor. Unfortunately, this did not include the Ziploc bag that led me to faceplant into a tree in the first place, nor the chips that had drifted off along with it. The sun was descending behind the trees when we finally arrived back to our home for the week, and I wanted nothing more than to get into the car and haul ass away from this damned place. But Amy was still oblivious to the bizarre things I had been experiencing. I allowed myself to consider that this truly all had just been in my head. But when I entered the bathroom to fully clean and patch up my head wound, I found it a little bit more difficult to believe that I had only dreamt these strange and disturbing events. "That's two," was written across the Ziploc bag which had been taped to the mirror in red ink. I hoped it was ink anyways. As soon as I opened the door and flipped on the light switch, it was the first thing that I saw, almost causing my legs to lose their stability once again. I whipped it from the glass, momentarily considering showing it to my wife, but this revelation would cause me to have to explain the unnerving things I had been experiencing to her, events I still could not rationalize. Though it stunned me to look upon the message left for likely my eyes only, I simply balled the bag, shoving it into my pocket for the time being. Maybe I wasn't prepared to admit the reality of my circumstances, or perhaps hiding away this potential admission of Ranger Lesnick's harassment was something I needed to do to be able to hold on to my weakening marbles. Either way, it was time for me to at least try to convince my wife that it may be in our best interest to get the hell off of this mountain, one way or another.